Today's episode of Robinson Podcast is sponsored by DraftKings. If football is your passion, you know all the players and the teams, their strengths and their weaknesses. Now you can put that knowledge to the test to play for your shot at the $1 million top prize at DraftKings.com. It's just part of the $5 million in total prizes they're doling out in the week one contest, because DraftKings.com is the destination for 1 week fantasy football. And 1 week fantasy means no season long commitments. Just play whenever you want with the players you want. Just pick your contest, draft your players, and follow your team live. You could renew old rivalries by challenging your friends or your mates and family in a private league to prove you're the superior GM. Or you can join an existing league and go head to head with friends, coworkers, and fantasy players from all across the country. Hurry to DraftKings.com now, choose your players, and you could seriously cash in week one. Use the promo code ROB and play for free with your first deposit. That's promo code ROB to play for free for your share in the $5 million in total prizes in the week one contest, only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details.
The smartest guys around. We're about to break it down like they won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Yes, that's right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are back to talk about week number two of Survivor Australia. And I'm very fired up, Stephen Fishback. Worked up.
I'm enraged. Yes. We're both enraged.
Hold on. Before we go any further, let me just say spoilers.
Oh, you want to bury the lead.
Spoilers. Okay. Look, we're going to talk about through episode number four of Survivor Australia that we have not seen the Tuesday night edition. They've added another night to the schedule. Maybe another reason to be a little upset, but that's not why we're so worked up tonight. So, okay. Spoilers.
I'm not raged about that too. Too much. Yes. You know, people have lives. People got to work. We can't just be watching Survivor Australia all the time.
Yeah, we got a podcast. But anyway, so, okay, spoilers and 3, 2, 1. All right, so, Steven, we just sat through, 2.5 hours of Survivor Australia? We've had one tribal council so far this week?
I'm so annoyed. And not even at Peter.
No.
For quitting.
No.
At production for denying us an elimination. And American Survivor has never done that, okay?
I think that there is some precedent there of...
I think that the times that when people have quit in the tribe phase of the game, they've still had eliminations. I'm thinking when Lindsay Ogle quit, Cagayan, Alexis Maxwell went home. When Colton Cumbie quits, Blood versus Water, I believe Rachel goes home that day. So it's outrageous. Red Tribe, whatever you want to call them, Aganoa? Lost.
It was
the elimination.
The Aganoa of defeat, Stephen, all week long.
I guess when Russell was medevac,
yes.
There was not. But did Foa lose or did Galulu? I don't think they finished the challenge.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I don't know what a good metaphor is. That's not going to come out sounding pervy, but yanks my.
Yes. Well, no, Stephen, I have just that because you get me all excited that we're going to have a tribal council. I'm writing in my notes. Yes. Most important tribal council of the season. You get me all worked up and then you don't vote. Now, Stephen, I have a case of blue ballots.
But it was the red tribe.
You want to call it red ballots? That's what I have because I'm all worked up to talk about and nothing, no release.
Yeah. And the craziest part, as we were chatting right before we went live, There's like 600 contestants on Australian Survivor. They have contestants to spare.
You could have done 10 tribal councils this week.
Yeah, and we'd still have 17 more weeks with Survivor Australia every night. I get it.
This is the first rodeo for Survivor Australia. And, you know, it's 55 some odd days or whatever. And I think they're like, well, what if we run out of people? What if we have a bunch of medical evacuations? What if we have a bunch of quits? But I don't know. Those are the breaks. Come on. Come on.
That's why you cast extra people. And that is why American Survivor started casting more people, right? Was because it was too precise with the 16. They started to realize they needed some wiggle room. Not to be confused with the wonderful podcast of the same name.
Yes.
Has it ever happened that a tribe has lost an immunity challenge and not had to vote someone out? I mean, other than, or had someone quit.
I'm too worked up to do the mental Rolodex right now. That's what the chat room is for. They can tell us these facts, but Steven, I blame you. I blame you also because you said last week, I said, this is a mistake. What are you doing? Vote Peter out. Vote him out. And you said, no, that's a mistake. You want to keep Peter around. Well, guess what, Steven?
Getting rid of Bianca was the right move for Bianca.
We'd be talking about a tribal council right now.
Yeah, but for them. I mean, for us, it was the wrong move. But for them, it was the right move. I still think getting rid of Bianca was the move. Otherwise, it's even worse. You know, if Peter's gone, suddenly you got, you know, Bianca still with you.
And make no mistake, we're not even mad at Peter. That Peter is fine. Look, that he's 62 with Survivor. It's hard. He wanted to go home. That I'm mad at his tribe.
None of us love quits, right? But the frustration of a quit is infinitesimal compared to the frustration of the production blue ballot.
Yeah. And if you're quitting and you're in your 60s, we understand. We get it. If you're in your 20s, it's
younger than that. Yeah.
Right. If you're in 20s, we're less understanding. But look, Peter, he's had a great life, that he probably had no business being out on Survivor. What are you going to do? But have the tribal council, or at least cancel it before we go there, because we're on the edge of our seat. This is going to be this huge vote that we're expecting. Steven, how are they going to vote?
I thought Rowan was gone for sure, right? And by the way, you and I have both gotten a lot of social media and email feedback. We were saying Rohan last week. Apparently, the correct pronunciation is Rowan. Just so everyone knows, we're Americans. We're going to get a lot of pronunciation wrong. It's just going to happen.
Yeah. Imagine if we talked about The Genius, Stephen, how much we would get wrong there.
Yeah, that would be a disaster.
Yeah,
that would be a disaster.
With the Chang Yap of it all and Jung Moon. Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? Forget that. But we'll do our best. We'll do our best to try. We got so much feedback from people after last week's show that we were inundated with people who wanted to come on and be our Australian correspondent, that it was almost like that. And then I was drowning and then I felt like I needed to go through everything. So I promise we will get Survivor Australia guests on the show, but we just got too much of a response. It would have been, had we gotten like three responses, we would have had somebody this week.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I apologize about that. Also, do apologize about not being able to cover a complete week of Survivor Australia for you guys here, that I'm traveling on Tuesday. So we made our podcast schedule before they upped the week. So bad job on us on being able to adapt to the new schedule.
And I'm protesting episode 3 too. So, you know,
episode 3 of this week,
and B, protesting.
Yes. Are you protesting episode 5 or episode 3 of this week?
Well, episode 5, the third weekly episode.
Yes. So we'll watch
it. I'll watch it and I'll talk about it next time we have a podcast, but I object.
Yeah. So next week, our podcast coverage, we're not sure about the day and the time just yet, but we will be covering the next 3 episodes and anything that happens in episode number 5 in terms of that. But Steven, we have a real power player who has emerged over these last 2 episodes that we're talking about in Phoebe.
Yeah.
And Phoebe has become like the Australian Kim Spradlin.
I think I don't have as high hopes for Phoebe as I did for Kim Spradlin. I thought that Kim was more in control, but Phoebe's doing great, right? I love Phoebe. Love Phoebe. She's, you know, at the Red Tribe. She's, you know, she's got this Women's Alliance. She's got this thing with some of the guys too, with L. Well, her main alliance seems to be L, right? That's her like core loyalty. And then L and she both are sort of with the women on the one hand, and then Lee and Rowan on the other hand. What do you think? And what do you think about this? Like, what's Phoebe's correct play here?
Well, the whole Phoebe is Kim Spradlin thing. It's weird because that between like the Kim and Chelsea Meisner in Survivor One World, it's almost like that this relationship is sort of reversed, where it's sort of like they're Australian doppelgangers, like have the roles reversed, where the girl that looks kind of like Kim is sort of like the beta in this relationship, and the girl who looks more like an Australian Chelsea is the Kim in this relationship. But it is kind of fun that they're this pair. But I don't know. I was writing in my notes, are you better off there where you have Rowan, who is with you, but now you right. don't really trust him. Are you better off to flush him along with the idol?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I thought, well, you know, when they first found the idol together and Rowan was like, well, do you mind if I keep it? And Phoebe was like, no. I thought like, okay, bad move by Rowan, but really Phoebe could have spoken up at that point, right? But then later on, she does speak up and it says, you know, you had said you were going to give me this thing and it, you know, I would like to have that thing that you said you would give me. And Rowan's like, oh, okay.
But you said, no. I said, well, what was yeah. I supposed to say?
Yeah. I thought that was the point where Rowan, like the fact that he didn't immediately say, you are right. I committed to this relationship. Here's the idol back. You know, our duo is more important than me holding on to this thing. Sorry about any confusion. You know, like he got a bye for that first miscommunication, but this one he really screwed up. I at that point, I thought you got to nuke Rowan.
Nuke Rowan. Think?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like Rowan's not playing the idol for you. Who knows what he's going to do with it? You know, Kat's in your corner. Kat's got nowhere else to go. You know, Rowan is dumb, right? Like he let the idol clue fall out of his pants. No offense, Rowan, if you're listening. And again, like any survivors who are listening,
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Rowan's not listening to Two Americans podcast Survivor Australia.
We get some weird
of the people that are in the mix here, of the 2,000 other people on this show, maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
You don't mess with the Rohan. So then, yeah. But I thought it was so aggressive to get rid of him. I mean, he's with her and maybe she doesn't trust him. File that away.
Both of them are with her. That's the thing. It's like, which alliance are you empowering more? Like, are you empowering this alliance of like doofuses who you don't trust? Or are you empowering this like women's alliance that you are actually pretty tight with?
But it's just such a bad look for the tribe in terms of where you have these guys that are going to be going off one by one. You've already lost Dez and Evan, and now you lose Rohan. And then
why is it a bad look to vote out a man over a woman, Rob?
I think it's a bad look because when just the optics of after a tribe swap, now all the men in the game are saying like, oh, we got to get rid of these man haters. Go back to Survivor Heroes versus Villains. Where yeah, that a bunch
how
of those
did that work out for the heroes? Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
Sandra wins.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just think in terms of like, don't you? Ideally, you want to win a challenge, don't you? I mean, you're going to vote off then Rowan, and then is Lee next?
Here's the like, but at this point, they're not winning anyway. You can't be like keep around the challenge players when they've lost every.
But you could vote
challenge.
Out the worst person in the challenges, somebody who's consistently making you lose. I mean, how many
Rowan
puzzles
lost this? Rowan and Phoebe lost this one. This was not on Kat at all. You know, I mean, Rowan isn't helping. And I think you reach a point where, you know, you're the red tribe. And honestly, what they should be thinking of is the intentional Mott Singh at this point. And I don't think that's where Phoebe's head is at, but that's where it should be at.
You have these guys who are working with you. I just feels like it seems crazy to me that she then went to Lee and got his blessing on this.
Oh, really? I thought that was good. I thought that was a good move.
We don't know what he said to if he kept it under his hat.
But no matter what, you know, Phoebe's point was like, you can trust him, but trust me more. Right. Like, I think that's a smart move for like her to close the gap. Like Rowan is being shady. And, you know, again, like, I thought that first interaction where he was a little bit shady was like, whatever, like it's an individual game. You never quite know what to do when you're called out about something like that. But then when she goes and she tries to have that heart to heart with him and he shuts it down. And it's funny, like he shut it down very similarly to the way he shut down the conversation with Evan, where he immediately became aggressive, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's his move. Like, no, you're a liar. You know, like, oh, why are you calling me out like that? You know, are you threatening me? Like, that's his move, is to immediately flip it around. At that point, you know, he's not a good ally. And I would rather have the stable ally in Kat than the duplicitous ally, the duplicitous, selfish, dumb ally in Rowan.
You know, Kat's kind of a loose cannon, too. She's got very loose lips at these tribal councils. I mean, this is two tribal councils in a row where she's really sort of like talking about like, oh, her take on what all the dynamics in the tribe. So she's not a great ally to begin with either.
Right. No, Kat is not a great ally. And you know, she kind of came
sometimes
out of the game.
Sometimes, Kat.
Yeah. 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 I don't like you. God, we should not be doing this.
It was hit or miss. It was hit or miss. But Stephen, in terms of this group, I really feel like that the winners and losers of the Pete quit, I think the biggest loser here is Phoebe, because she kind of got outed on this plan where she's like put it in motion and then she didn't get to take the shot. And you don't think Rowan...
Did she get outed, though? Did she get outed?
You don't think that if... I don't think she got outed yet, but you don't think in 3 days more time that Lee and Rowan aren't going to have a conversation about this?
Yeah, I mean, that's the dangerous part, is like, what happens with Lee?
It's not fair to her to go through the motions and then say, okay, false alarm, we're not going to do a tribal council.
Yeah, this happened a little bit to us in Token Chains. You know, what's always wonderful is when survivors relate all experiences back to their own seasons, where we had a big blindside planned against Brendan, and then tribal council was canceled because Joe was evacuated, which happens, right, in the individual phase of the game. But it's hard. It's hard to keep like a big move under your hat for a couple of days. And I don't necessarily think Lee is the guy to do it.
Yeah. So I'm worried about Phoebe moving forward, but I don't know what these guys can do other than win a challenge next. But now if you get to, if there's a tribe swap, and who knows when that could be in this sort of 24 person season, are we assuming that we just push everything out to like 6 or 8? At what point is there a swap? Now you got to feel like that Rowan and Lee are going to be throwing them under the bus the first chance they get.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think Rowan still may think that he has a thing with Phoebe, right? Like, it certainly didn't seem like Rowan felt threatened today.
No, he doesn't. But is he going to find out about this now, where it would have been sort of like a clean blindside with the idol? Now you have the opportunity where Lee can tell him what's going on and he has the idol. And now what do you do? He's going to have a 2-2-2 vote split next time.
I mean, you're really projecting out a lot. Like, I don't know if that's
Isn't
happen.
That what we do on this show?
I don't know. I mean, I just think that's that, like, you know, it's possible, right? And I feel like Phoebe has things more under control. Maybe you're right. Like, the thing we've seen so far, certainly for Aganoa, is that the people who are playing hardest are getting nipped in the bud, right? Well, except for Dez, who was not playing at all. But, you know, Evan really was scheming too much. And that bit him in the butt. And then Rowan kind of was like overdoing it. And it looked like he might go home tonight. And maybe you're right. Maybe as soon as Phoebe is outed as an Evan, you know, she'll be in danger. But, you know, the fact of the matter is Phoebe has this 4-strong girl alliance. You know, she didn't even need, you know, a lot was made of Phoebe trying to recruit Rowan and Lee for the Evan vote. She didn't need Rowan or Lee for the Evan vote. Because Kat, Al, and Christy all voted for Evan. Yeah. So Rowan and Lee were superfluous to that. And, you know, as much as it seems like there's this like, oh, she's in between these two groups, she's pretty solid with the women. And, you know, if the men are waffly, you know, that's worse for them.
I think what's pretty fun about Survivor Australia is just trying to, or Australian Survivor, just trying to figure out exactly how this is going to break down for this first season and what's sort of like the emergent gameplay here in Australian Survivor. And in this 54-day season, I think that you probably want to look at this more like a game of Big Brother, where I always say in Big Brother, you kind of want to go out there and go to sleep for the first month and really don't make too many big moves early on, where the 39-day game of American Survivor is more of a sprint compared to that. And here, I think that you probably want to go somewhere in between where you want to be thinking about big moves. But I think that we've seen the people who are playing the hardest actually suffer. And I think that's twofold, where one, the game is longer, so there's more opportunities for things to blow up in your face. And two, there's this thing where we talked about where the super fans of the world, like the Evans, are going to be really coming out and playing the game hard. And we saw Nick also get caught up in this a little bit this week.
Hey, young Sester Ninoz is having a bad
we'll talk about all of that with the neutral box of it all from this week. But so I think that there's two things where there's people, the people that have seen every episode of the American Survivor are coming out there and like ready to wheel and deal. But I do think that there is a bit of a resistance of people that are playing the game too hard. Be like, well, we don't want that kind of person around here.
Well, and I even think that it's overstated with American Survivor, where I think, you know, the pre-merge for American Survivor is actually probably still pretty slow compared to the you know, any swap and post-merge play where, you know, I certainly had that experience in Cambodia, going out and being like, it's time. Let's, you know, we're the new school Survivor. Let's go. And everyone else was like, yeah, calm down. We got a long, we got 24 hours every day here. You know, it's going to be a long, long month. So I think that you still need to, even American Survivor, you need to go slow. And I totally agree with you that Australian Survivor is probably going to favor the people who kind of peak, you know, a month in.
Slow it down. Slow it down.
Slow it down. I think, as Sue says to Nick, right?
That's right. And these Aganoa people who have been to now three tribal councils and voted two people out. I mean, I think it's just hard to, like, how do you just pace yourself in a 55-day game
when you're
going to tribal council every 3 days?
Yeah, it's hard. It is really hard. I mean, you know, typically, too, in American tribal council, American Survivor, like, you know, we were just talking about intentional Mod Singh, it can be beneficial to lose early, both to sort of like battle harden yourself in tribal council and to kind of like to get rid of the dead wood. And then I don't know what's going on with my metaphors. And then also to,
is it a Western drama?
Yeah. You know, and then just to let the resentments fester, on the other tribes. But that, you know, that doesn't, if you lose all your members, that's, you know, problematic. And then, you know, yeah, I mean, it really could be good for Phoebe and Elle, though. You know, this whole thing. You don't think so?
Well, I think that it really hurt her to have this, get up to the starting gate and then no tribal council. It's like we talk about this all the time on these shows, where if you have the person in your sights, you got to take the shot. You can't say like a false alarm and walk it back because eventually that person is always going to find out about this plot.
And that happened to Peter, right? Last season, where he sort of had that, like he had like gotten a plan together against to vote out, you know, someone. And I think Joe, right? And then he kind of.
Well, Joe Del Campo also got hurt when the blocks fell on his head and they did this challenge in Survivor Go Wrong. So there's so many parallels. Block.
I don't get it. Why make challenges that are going to hurt people? I don't understand.
I've been saying this for a long time. Don't get me worked up about challenges that'll hurt people. But Stephen, I want to talk about the first episode a bit and the departure of Evan, who I really liked. Very sad to see Evan go. I think he was one of the most interesting characters on the show. Also, a reminder to you guys, if you want to get your questions in live, Scott St. Pierre is following the hashtag RHAP in our YouTube channel. robisawebsite.com/YouTube. So we'll take your questions as well in a little bit. So we had the Survivor Worlds Apart. They brought something back from the Dirty 30, Stephen.
Yeah, I've tried to forget Survivor Worlds Apart as much as possible. So I think it's going to be interesting to talk about this twist again. And once again, try to figure out like what the correct move here is.
Yeah. Well, Stephen, this is so fun now because we have the people that know Survivor, the U.S. version of Survivor. Now, they've all seen this before.
Right.
And it wasn't mentioned by anybody in the Australian version of Survivor where nobody said, this is total BS. Like, I saw this. This is the So Kim thing. This is the neutral box thing.
Well, they're definitely lying. Someone probably said it.
They definitely said it in the real version of this, but in the edit, it wasn't there. So it was almost presented as if the survivors were going to be totally off their game because nobody had ever seen a twist like this before. And it's exactly the same as what we saw in the beginning of the Survivor Season 30 Worlds Apart. Share the lie, Stephen. And what do you do? And everybody here ended up picking the clue. Nobody ended up going with the big bag of rice.
But we did see some interesting strategies from that choice. I thought that they handled it actually for the most part much better than the Worlds Apart people handled it. Now, just to recap, when the Worlds Apart people had their choices, right? So Kim and Joaquin said they chose the neutral box, right? Remind me.
So and Joaquin, they took the smaller bag with the clue, and then they came back and said, there was three options, and one of them was a neutral option. So we chose this neutral option, and this is like the medium bag of beans. And Shireen was like, no, there's no way. There's no such thing as a neutral box. Then the blue collar tribe.
They chose honesty, right?
I believe they did. I think that they were talking about
it was Mike. It was Mike and Dan. I remember.
Dan. Yeah. And they were going to do it, but then they said, wait, that's not how we're going to be. We got to be blue collar. And so they ended up going with the bigger bag. And then
I think no one believed them though. Right. Like if I'm remembering correctly, they came.
Yeah. They didn't believe them. They said it still wasn't that big. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and that's the problem with a twist like this is that you can't pick the big bag. Because no matter what, people are going to think you're lying to them. And so that's why I liked some of like Nick's strategy, even though it certainly didn't work, was to pick the smaller bag and come up with a convincing lie. So, and then what did No Collar do? Do you remember?
You know, I don't even know. It must not have been anybody memorable that was doing it for the No Collar, because I can't even think of
Joey Amazing.
I don't think it was. I don't think it was. He's memorable. I remember him if he was doing it.
Ben, but, you don't think it was Jen and Vince?
I don't know. I don't remember. So they must have just taken the bigger bag of beans because that where there would be some sort of memorable thing about it if they took it. And I think it was all about that in that episode, So Kim and the neutral box. And so they ended up going with the idol clue in that hand. So, but here, everybody goes for the idol clue. We don't really see any fallout from Peter and Kylie, who were the first ones.
We saw this episode a little bit, right?
A little bit.
Where they were like, we got to keep on them and don't trust them. And, you know, they're probably looking for the idol. So we didn't see it last episode, but we did see a little bit of it this episode, but it wasn't as bad.
Are you willing to acknowledge yet that Peter keeping him last week was a mistake? Because after they kept him, then he was like kind of annoyed. Hey, like, hey, I wanted to go home. You robbed me of my chance at dignity of actually being voted out of this game. Now I got to sit around here. Oh. I want to go home and I'll help this person find the idol.
Here's the thing. You got to take your shots when you have them and get rid of the people who are being divisive on the tribe. Vavau's strength, Yellow Tribe's strength, is not their strength. Right, because as we saw in the strength portion of this challenge, they're not that strong. It's their cohesiveness, and obviously Nick Cesternino's is a puzzle master. But
very good at the puzzles.
Mostly though, cohesiveness. They work together really well as a tribe. You know, you've got this chance to get rid of Bianca. She's going to be a liability down the line. I stand by this move.
Okay, let's not get too caught in the weeds on this. We've got like 9 hours of new Survivor Australia to talk about.
I'm trying to Google the Worlds Apart boxes, but. Ultimately, the more important thing is that there's three different choices here. Right. Peter and Kylie. Right. They just lie, right, and say this is what would they say, like, this is what we had two choices or something.
They didn't really show too much of them after the fact, that they just said, okay, that this was going to be, Peter says, I'll help Kylie find it. And I think that they're sort of well served, where they seem like honest people, especially Peter, that everybody loves him. So they had a lot of goodwill with the tribe. And I don't think that there's any super fan here that was really going to call them. Maybe Connor, the super fan, ultimately did.
Brooke had a confessional this episode about like how they're definitely off looking for the idol and we got to keep on them. Connor then follows them, and I love Connor. I really love Connor.
Purple Connor this
Purple
week.
Purple Connor, I know. So much for the Connor winners at it. But he follows them and then decides that he's followed them long enough. And turns
around. Yeah. INV1 for Connor this week. So then we ended up with the Red Tribe, where we had Phoebe and Rowan, right, who go out. And so what ultimately ends up happening here? So what does Rowan then, they decide they take the small bag, they take the clue, and then Rowan puts what in his pants? The clue to the idol?
He puts the clue to the idol in his pants. He puts the clue to the idol in his pants.
Okay. And I don't know what's the issue here, that his underwear is, there's too much room, that the things fall out. Is that what the issue is?
He shoved it down his pants, and you know, there's not enough keeping.
Or there wasn't enough room for the clue to fit.
Oh, maybe that's what it was. Yeah.
Go either way.
But so, and then when they go back, what do they say? Phoebe and Rowan, they kind of have a BS lie too.
Yeah. So they go back and they have the smaller bag, and that Evan knows immediately this is BS. He has to say, like, okay, this is so obviously the Worlds Apart thing. Yeah, I'm not buying this at all. Say
big things come in small packages. So we took the small bag, but it turns out it's just a bag of beans. they're kind of like mumbling it. You know, their delivery isn't very convincing either. Rowan's a model, not an actor model.
Yes, but he's not just a model, he says, from last week.
Right.
So Evan then goes out, and then he says, okay, well, they must, I know which way they came from. And then he goes out and explores, and he has to have every bit of confidence that exactly what this was. And then he finds the clue on the ground, but then he severely overplays his hand.
Yes, yes. Evan goes and then immediately tries to blow up Rowan and Phoebe's spot, and he goes to Lee. And, you know,
well, he starts off
going to L because, like, she, you know, yeah, he thinks that he should get her on his side first.
He says that L is a person who the thing she values most is friendship.
Right.
And so that he will then get her to turn on her friend. And then she goes right to Phoebe and is like, hey, did you get a clue to the idol? Like, yeah, we got one. And
I think Evan is not aware of his position in this pecking order. You know, I think Evan thinks it's like an alliance of like five equals, and like to the everyone else, like we're the cool kids with like our nerdy, you know, the nerdy guy who's like, and he's like the guy who's always like taking a picture of the group when they're hanging out, you know.
Oh, clearly you're saying that he is the Screech of the Fist Five Alliance. I think that's what he calls it in this episode.
Yeah,
I think that's probably the case. But yeah, Lee in the last episode, I think it was it Lee or was it Rowan who was talking about how Evan thinks he's you know with the Alliance. He's not really with us, but better to have this kid with us as opposed to him being against us. And he was really fun. He's like a Johnny Fairplay style. He's swearing on his wife's life game.
I thought that's like the classic Russell misplay, you know, like that maybe was fun in season 7 when it was like a lie about a grandma. But like, you know, we saw that in season 20 when Russell swore on, you know, I guess his kid's life, I think it was. And Rupert says, you know, I won't trust anybody who swears on the life of their loved ones, you know, which is right. Like if you're making it too, you know, it's not like a fun swear. It's like a
three-time Survivor veteran Rupert has seen it all before, Stephen.
Four-time Survivor veteran.
Well, at that time, he was three times.
Like, he's like, you know, that's the kind of thing that alienates people. That's not like a fun strategic mind game. That's like a misplay on someone who's playing too hard. You know, I mean, a la Russell here. And you know, Evan also was the guy who said, you know, lied about being a drama teacher.
He also lied that they got the fire started last week too, if I recall, right?
Yeah.
It's kind
like,
of a
again, like
lie.
A 55 year day. And like, I liked Evan too. I thought he added a lot of fun, to the show. Right. And certainly in this, I think he really got unlucky, Steven, on the tribe that he was cast on, kind of like the cool kid tribe. And he's, you know, the misfit. I think he might've fared better in a different group.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I thought he was really fun on the show. I was sad to see him go. And my heart always goes out for this character in Survivor who ends up just
you?
Yeah, look, you know, when I first went to go play Survivor, like this was what I envisioned my fate was going to be. Basically, I would be there for a couple days and then I would just get to go to the parties and get to say I was on Survivor.
And then
I didn't know that would happen to me a year later when I would go play it again. But so I always feel for this person.
Yeah. No, it sucks. It sucks. You know, he obviously is a huge fan of the show. You know, I saw an interview with him. He claimed that his lie about a high school teacher was an homage to Tony Vlachos, which, I mean, that may be a little bit after the fact justification, but it shows, you know, he's got some good, good reference cultural touch points. So he obviously a huge fan of the show, possibly watching the podcast again, please don't. And
turn it off.
Yeah, turn it off. I think that it must suck for him to like be voted out so soon. But you know, his impact was felt.
Yeah, he just way overplayed everything here in this episode, and such a mistake to end up going to L. We saw him last week trying to get something going with Christy and with Dez. That his move really just needed to be sort of like ingratiate himself and really not try to make as many waves. That his position was too insecure at this point in this 55-day game to be playing as big of a game as he was trying to do.
Yeah, I think that's right. But it's hard because like also when your position is insecure, that's when you feel the need to play harder. You know, I mean, I've certainly been in that position myself, just feeling like I'm constantly scrambling to keep my head above water. So, you know, I have a lot of sympathy for someone who, you know, is on the outs a little bit and is always kind of trying to make moves and finding every roadblock. So I think it's easy for us to be like, oh, obviously he should have laid back after the fact. You know, had he just kind of sat there and let himself been picked off, we would have been criticizing him for that.
He schemed and plotted too much. And I think that his biggest mistake, though, with finding this clue was that he didn't go to talk to Lee first. He went to talk to Lee second. So he went and he put this bug in Elle's ear, and then she went to Phoebe, and then Phoebe got a good hate into Evan, as opposed to where Lee seems like he was the person who was the more lawful good character here.
It's a pretty good comparison.
And he was, and Lee was like legitimately upset about what Rowan had done and how he didn't share that with the group. And so that if he goes to Lee first, who it seemed like he had the better relationship with, then Phoebe probably doesn't try to get the women all against Evan for trying to screw up her plans.
Right. That's probably right. And Kat might have been more of a target. It wasn't clear why Elle. And maybe there's, you know, I'm sure there's some, you know, complicated reason, but
He said that she values friendship, and he thought that she would be devastated that her friend Phoebe wasn't sharing with her. And everybody knows Phoebe's always have friends that are very important to them. They'll be there for them.
They'll be there for them. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I just mean I'm sure that, you know, we're seeing like a very like a fraction of Evan's relationship with Elle. Like maybe he feels for whatever reason that he can trust her. Lee then sits Evan and Rowan down and like makes them talk it out.
Yeah. I liked when Evan was like, thanks, Dad, for having my back on that. But ultimately, then Evan ends up with trying to get something going. You know, it seemed like Lee talks him down off the ledge.
Yeah.
But then he's still having these, you know, conversations with people. Like he does try to sort things out with Rowan and does try to sort things out with Phoebe. But it's already too late. She's got a good hate into him. And then she starts pulling the strings behind the scenes.
Yeah, and it's not clear that Kat necessarily would have gone had Evan not overplayed, but like certainly the story we're seeing is that Evan, you know, played himself out of the game.
So, Stephen, going back to the first tribal council for Aganoa, that if we take a look at where potentially Rowan was going to go out here in this episode, did they make the wrong move by voting out Dez? Should the guys have kept Dez around?
Just to keep the guys' alliance. I don't know. I mean, yeah, that's hard. You know, that's like a hard thing to say, you know, X many days later, just to assume that every group of women is always going to ally as a group of women. You know, that's a big assumption, you know, and certainly in those early days, it didn't look like that. Right. You out of the gate had that alliance of Elle, Kat, Rowan and Lee.
What was the advantage of keeping Kat in that first vote over Dez?
Dez was aggressively lazy, right? At least Kat was contributing.
But then he turned it on. Then he was aggressively hardworking.
And then he built the shelter and they had a shelter.
Yeah. So I don't know that these tribes of eight, we haven't seen an 8-person tribe on Survivor in some time. I do think that that's kind of like the perfect number to start
like,
the game with.
I like eight a lot. Yeah. It's a fun number to play.
Was Token Jeans the last time we had the 8-person tribe?
Maybe so. Well, I'm trying to think
to start to start
right, to start. Yeah. Yeah. To start for sure. To start. Yeah.
Oh, so interesting. So a little bit of a throwback here with the Survivor Australia. What did you think about at the tribal council after Evan got voted out that he says, Rowan, good luck with the idol.
Yeah, I like that. Just a little of shade, a little bit of shade. I like that. I thought that was good.
Did it change anything in anybody's mind?
Nope.
No. Because they didn't find the idol until the next episode. And even then, Phoebe only cared that he did not share the idol with her.
Yeah. I don't think anyone cared about that. You know, maybe, right. Certainly not that we saw.
Well, let's discuss what's going on with our yellow tribe.
Right.
And what, Vavau?
Yeah. Well, dangerous week for Nick Cesarini.
Yes. So it was when you play the Game of Thrones, Steven, you either win or you die.
So he had an interesting strategy. Wait, is that a reference to, that's because he wanted to go big?
Well, no, that his lie to people was that on a throne for a king.
I didn't pick that up at all.
Sorry, Steven. I was very proud of all my puns and my notes this week. I felt like nobody can take notes on an episode of Survivor like I can.
Like watching it together and you would like paused right after the throne remark and been like, when you play the Game of Thrones, but like, you know, now it's like a couple days
nailed
later.
Nailed it. Like if I was updating the screen behind me when we were talking about doing segments and stuff like that, that would be good.
Yeah.
But that being said, that's the subheading for my section in my notes about all of this. So that here's Nick now, and this is like the bastardification of thinking about this too much, right? Where, let's take this and then we'll make up a fake immunity idol clue. And I'm sure that in season 30, that I'm sure that there's a voicemail. Somebody is coming up with this idea and saying like, what if you did this? And it's not going to work.
Right. Well, I thought this was not a terrible idea. Like have a fake, give a clue, but it's a fake clue. I think ultimately what it comes down to is there's nothing you can say where people are going to not think you're lying to them. I really believe,
right.
And I think the only move therefore, and you know, tell me what you think here, Rob, is to come back with the idol clue and show everyone the clue. because, and even then, people are probably going to be like, they're still hiding something, you know? But as far as I can tell, that's the only play where people will remotely trust you.
This might have worked if it was in season 30. If just so Kim and Joaquin come back and here's the clue. Okay, maybe this works. But anybody that's ever seen that season right. of Survivor before knows this is BS.
Wait, why would they know, though, that the clue is not a true clue?
Because when they come back and they have the small bag of beans right. and then they say that there's an idle clue,
right.
then they know. They know. If this is like Survivor, Australian Survivor 1, and this has never happened before, then they buy it, perhaps.
No, but he's admitting he has the clue. Like I don't see it necessarily being flawed. Like he's admitting, oh, there's a clue to this idle. And then they recited verbatim, like together, you know, with rhymes. You know, I actually thought that was pretty clever. Well, I don't see why that necessarily is going to be seen through.
Because nobody bought it.
Well, but I agree that after the fact, the fact is that it was seen through. But I don't see like why, based on the fact that they did it in Worlds Apart, because like he is coming back and saying there was an idle clue, and we got this little bag of beans, and we got the idle clue, and here's what the idle clue is.
So, what do you think? It just wasn't convincing enough of a rhyme.
I just think that maybe it was the rhyme wasn't convincing enough. I just think that no matter what you say, no one is going to believe you. And the fact that they didn't have a physical object to show. Was ultimately maybe what screwed them.
Yeah. I think you just screwed no matter what. We talked about how Mike and Dan were screwed. They brought back the big bag of beans. And then fan favorite Sierra Dawn Thomas is like, obviously that's not the big bag of beans. And then you end up with, you know, nobody's believing you no matter what. So I don't know what you do.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you have to come. I mean, and even if you come back and show everyone the idol clue, then you're essentially empowering everyone to get the idol. But like you definitely, I think that's the only move in that position. Would you rather, okay, so knowing that there's no right move here, would you rather be the one to go and see the idle clue just to have the knowledge, even though you're going to get screwed back at camp? Or would you rather be, you know, the Andrew? Would you rather be Sester Ninoz, or would you rather be Andrew back at camp, like wagging your finger?
Oh, I'd rather be Andrew back at camp wagging my finger. That's kind of what I do, Steven. I'd much rather be the finger wagger than the guy who's out on, you know, on the front lines.
But you know, Sister Ninoz has the clue. He's got the actual information, and now he's going to be able to maybe even find the idol.
I don't know. Steven, I don't know what the right answer to this is. I feel like this is the second time that we've had this come up, and I still don't feel like we have a good answer on any of this.
Yeah. But it does seem actually like Craig is in the best position here on that tribe, right? Where, you know, Nick is too far out front. Craig kind of is in Nick's group, but he seems to be a real decision maker on of a vow.
You know, I'll tell you, I think this was really bad for Nick, because we talked about how Nick had emerged as the de facto leader of this group. Nobody had stepped up, and there was a leadership vacuum. And now here he is, the leader of the group. And then he comes back and is lying to the group. And then I think you have almost like a coach type situation where now you have a leader who is not really seen as the person who has like the group's best interest in mind, and kind of somebody who's kind of just looking out for themselves. And I think that's a bad spot to be in now, with an A of motive to get rid of him.
He is indispensable to the tribe, right?
Because of his puzzle, puzzle making ability?
His puzzles
he's fantastic in the challenges.
Yes. His puzzles are so strong that they would be insane to vote him out.
Yeah. But he needs to be. Otherwise, if they went to a tribal council, I think that he would be somebody that they would talk about voting out.
Yeah.
And it's a weird alliance that this seems like that the core four here is what? Craig, Andrew, Jenna Louise, and Sue?
No, I thought it was Nick, Craig, Jenna Louise, and Sue, right? That's the four who walked away, to whom Nick revealed the true idol information. I didn't get the sense that Andrew was in that group.
Okay. I'm not sure where Andrew stands at all.
And Kate. Isn't Kate in that group too? Maybe she's not.
I'm not sure. I don't think she was at the meeting.
Yeah. I don't know.
I thought it was Jenna Louise.
Well, Jenna Louise was definitely there.
Where's Barry? Just hanging out on the hammock?
Barry's in the hammock. He's doing, apparently Barry, someone was tweeted to me that Barry is like a big deal in Australia.
He is, but people love Barry, or he's famous.
He's like an ex-rugby player.
Oh.
He's a sports star. Like more than Lee.
Yeah. He's like the Jeff Kent of Survivor Australia.
Yeah, he may be. Well, except, you know, he gives good handshakes.
Okay.
No four-fingered handshakes for Barry.
I did think that Craig and Andrew both really emerged this week as people that we need to keep an eye on.
Yeah, especially Craig. I actually really like Andrew. I'm sad we're not seeing more of him. But the four-episode confessional account, Andrew's got three total. Craig has 10. So Andrew's had two invisible episodes. Craig's been in every episode. So
okay. Let's bounce around and talk about a couple other odds and ends from the week in Survivor Australia. We had the emergence of Chester the Chicken. Stephen, is Sia going to be making an appearance at the Survivor Australia finale?
You never know. You never know where Sia will appear next.
Yes, she absolutely. She just loves Chester the Chicken.
Yeah. That was the. What did you think of that? What did you make of the Chester?
You know what? I'm a little over naming the chicken.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I feel like it's, good on them for doing it. But, and Chester's giving eggs, to be fair.
Yeah. Well, now maybe the Australian viewing audience is not or done with Mark the Chicken. So it's new to them.
Yeah, exactly.
It's new to them. What'd you think of the challenges this week? Did anything really speak to you?
I dig the challenges. I think they're really good. I like it seemed like they're grueling. They've got a good puzzles at the end that seem to, I've been enjoying them. What about yourself?
Yeah. Every challenge is ending with a puzzle. I mean, for me, that's probably, and these episodes are long also, if anything, where if I'm tuning out at all, it's going to be during the first 3 minutes of any challenge on the show.
Yeah, I think that's the right place to tune out.
It's like an NBA game. Just show up for the last 2 minutes of any Survivor challenge.
Jonathan is doing a pretty good job. You know, he's got the propsisms like pretty down pat.
Yeah. Now, what did you think of after the Aganoa lost the immunity challenge in that third episode? Or maybe it was the reward challenge, and he said that he says, okay, well, Aganoa, I'm sorry. And Evan's like, I got nothing else for you.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, don't feed the Australian host the Jeff Probst lines. I'm sure he's not going to appreciate that.
Oh, you think he's telling him the lines?
Yeah. I mean, isn't that sort of like, I don't know what the analogy is. Stephen,
I thought it was like a Cochranian moment, just kind of like drawing attention to like the artifice of the thing that we all know and love.
Yeah. It's almost like if you have the new star of Hamilton and then you're feeding him things, it's not exactly the same.
Yeah.
But I think that's it. Like, all right, I know my lines. Thank you. Thank you, Evan.
I thought it was funny. I thought it was cute.
Yeah.
What do you think of Nick using his poetry skills for evil?
Evil poetry?
Yeah, I was pretty upset about that.
Again, I think it was a clever idea. It just was poorly executed. I mean, I still don't think anybody's going to believe you, but if you are going to pull that off, you need to be. And I thought it was even doubly bad when then he was trying to give them the real clue and he really sounded even more unconvincing than when he gave him the fake clue. Yeah. It's like, I think it was like, it was something about tree.
He needs to show someone a parchment if he wants to get that's what it ultimately comes down to. I feel like I had a confession. That's what Survivor's about. Nothing is real until you see it on parchment. And really, that's like the thing when you're out there, you're like, literally everything is a lie that is not coming out of Jeff's mouth or Jonathan's mouth in this case, or that I'm seeing on parchment. And, that's why it's so important to like show physical concrete things to people.
Yeah. You need to either be playing four times as hard as everybody else or half as hard.
Yeah.
That is, it's like, but both things are fine, but just playing like twice as hard as everybody else is bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You need to be moving so fast that people can't see everything that's going on,
yeah,
or moving nice and slow that everybody can see exactly what you're doing. But they're like, just trying to like hustle these people is, I think this is going to be a net negative.
Yeah.
All right, Stephen, you ready to jump into some questions from
one more thing. What do you think about the Blue Tribe sending Peter and Phoebe to
Disaster.
Peter and Kylie to
disaster.
Yeah.
What a mistake.
So
terrible.
So dumb. So dumb.
Yeah. It was unforgivably bad. Yeah. Where this is, you're talking about stuff that we should have known by, in Survivor Marquesas. These are things that we, found out, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And we're making, those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it, Steve.
I really like the Blue Tribe, though. It has some of my favorite characters. I really like Connor, as you know. I like Matt. Magician. I've actually been trying to recruit a magician for Survivor US. I thought he'd be the first magician. I don't know if Matt will invalidate that. There's never been a magician on before.
Yeah. Like Matt the magician is good. Probably worst thing about him is Chester the chicken. So over the chicken.
I thought that was Matt. That's a sweetheart. You know, he bonded with Peter. He's a sensitive soul. You know, this is a moving, powerful experience, Rob. You're so cynical.
Yeah. He was bummed out about Peter going home. One other thing before we get to the questions, just a programming note before I forget. Steven and I cut it pretty close watching these episodes to when we do the live podcast.
Yeah.
So please don't tweet us about Survivor Australia until we're doing this
literally
podcast.
Until the words come out of our mouth about who has been.
Right. Just assume that 10 seconds before we start the podcast, that's when we finish watching the shows.
It's correct.
Please don't tweet us.
Or email
we appreciate
us about it. That. Or email us about who's going.
You can email us as well. SurvivorAU@robhasawebsite.com.
Not spoilers.
No spoilers, please. Yeah. That's all we ask. All right. So let's get into it. Steven, what's the first question this
first
week?
The question we got this week is Corey's Goat wants to know, Magic Matt is such a threat at puzzles. Do you think he is in the best position now? If not, who is? What do you think? Is Magic Matt in the best position?
Best position in his tribe or overall?
Well, let's do both.
Okay. In the blue tribe, I feel like that he is in the best position. I always like on Survivor to be the guy behind the guy,
yeah,
or the guy behind the girl, or the girl behind the guy, or whatever. Whatever you want to be. That's going to be the very, you know, all genders behind any gender.
Yeah, I agree. I think Matt, you know, Sam is kind of out. The core alliance on that tribe of Flick, Matt, Flick, Brooke, Sam, and Matt, right, with Connor's kind of their fifth. And Sam sort of out front as a leader, right? Flick is maybe drove some of the strategy behind, right, the Bianca boot. Matt's, you know, everyone's best friend. You know, he obviously knows the game really well. He's got the chicken. I think he's in a good position. You know, I mean, just because I have to, Kylie is getting a lot of airtime. So she's in the best.
Doing winner edit for Kylie?
She's up there, Rob. She is up there. She's getting a lot of airtime. We're seeing the story through her lens a lot. You know, it's all about her kind of like journey and struggles, right? Like, you know, certainly she's got a lot of story left in this game.
Yeah. Well, Steven, where you have firefighter, mom of three girls, underdog in the tribe. I mean, that is a story screaming for airtime.
It is a story screaming for airtime. Okay. So, Matt's in a great spot in the tribe. He's a great spot in the winningest tribe. Certainly a good spot in the game. Being the winningest tribe, not typically actually
Now hold on, wouldn't you say that Vavau is the winningest tribe?
I'm sorry. Yeah. Not
that they are fully constituted. Yeah. You know, right. 9 days into this thing.
I'm sorry, you're absolutely right.
Okay, all right. Let's talk to Matt Forsyth. He says one of the players that I really like is Matt the Magician, Magic Matt. But I don't think that many people are talking about him. Are you listening to the show? Are there any under the radar players that you think can make a big impact later on in the game? All right, Steven, give us the under the radar darlings.
Andrew. Right. Don't you think? I mean, I don't know if Craig counts as under the radar. I think feel like Craig is on the radar. Andrew, I think, is definitely an under the radar darling.
I'd count Craig as under the radar. He's under the radar of the story of the season.
Well, then I think definitely Craig is going to be a big player later on.
Yeah, one of these two guys with glasses on the yellow team is going to do something.
Yeah. Although not carry a chest, presumably, because that was hot mess.
Speaking of, I think Sue is right in there. I mean, I kind of thought that she'd be like the grandma that we wouldn't really talk about, but she's right there. She's like, they're not treating her like she's, you know, outside of this core group. I think she's somebody to watch out for.
Yeah. What about Jenna Louise? Law grad?
Jenna Lewis?
Jenna, she even kind of has a Jenna Lewis sort of,
Yeah, I couldn't tell you anything about her other than she was at that meeting that Nick was at.
Kate?
Yeah. Other than she threw the ball last week, that I don't have anything about Kate either.
What about the fact that she's an inspiration and changed Sue's life?
I guess so. Yeah. I guess so.
what about, you know, this is
yeah, what was that? She was in a boating accident? What was that about?
It seems terrible.
Yeah. Like the genius. I don't want to Google it and get like a spoiler or anything like that.
Yeah. What about Connor? You know, I felt like the first episode,
he's too under the radar now.
I agree. I as loath as I am to say it, this two episode Connor drought has not making me feel good for his chances out of the line.
And then on the Red Tribe that in Aganoa, nobody's really under the radar.
They're all on the radar.
Christy.
Maybe Christy.
Christy is probably the only one that's kind of under the radar at this point.
But I wouldn't say she's an under the radar darling.
No,
she's
not
no
a darling.
Craig. She's no Craig.
Not a darling. Okay, yeah. Let's keep going. More questions. South Newton. The Yellow Tribe edit seems to be setting up Nick versus Craig. Who do you think will come out on top? Who do you want to come out on top?
I like them both. I want them to become friends.
Can Nick bounce back from this? This has been a bad week for Nick.
I feel like Nick is so bouncy. You know, you even see him move and he's bouncing around. I feel like Nick has got a lot left in this. I think that he's...
And it's not the dead cat bounce?
What? Is that another reference that I'm just totally missing?
Well, it's look, if you look, a dead cat is even gonna that his game could be over, and if he you know, he might bounce a little bit like
so the dead cat bounce is not a thing. It's just what you're sort of saying.
That's a thing. It's a thing. So that what I'm trying to say is that so he was up a little bit, but is the damage already done?
I think the damage is not done. I think Nick is a really smart player. I think he's got a lot of game left. I like Nick. I like Nick to go deep.
For me, I would like to see Nick get through a tribal council. If we can see them vote once and I can see that, okay, he's not the target when they vote, then I'm going to feel a lot better about him.
Do you want, since he is the young Sester Ninas, do you want Nick to succeed or do you want...
Of course.
You know, I don't know.
Of course I want him to succeed.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about my archetypal similars.
Yes. Why? You want them to all lose?
I want them to all do just slightly worse than I did.
Just slightly worse. No,
really
I always
well.
Root for them.
Do really well, but like slightly worse.
No, but that's a thing because there are people like, and I interview all these different, you know, reality TV people, and you'll talk to some of them sometimes, and it's like, okay, here's the person who's clearly the you of this season, yeah. And they do nothing but crap on them. I always root for them.
Yeah. I want them to do really well. I did well my first time. I want them to do almost that well.
Yeah, but don't get a big head. Don't get a big head about it then.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You mean okay. Me or that?
Stay humble. No, stay humble. Then don't go on the show again and then do good. And then you're too good for us. That I don't care for.
Oh, who are you? Is there anyone that we're talking about?
Martin Schmidt wants to know, don't you have to go for the idol clue no matter what? Having an idol gives you the ability to switch up the game when you need to, Steve.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. And that's my question. It's like, if you don't go for the clue, then someone else has the clue, you know? And I think that can be that can be dangerous too. You know, it's like, I liked Phoebe's, thing about, you know, she wants to tamp down the information. Like while the idol is a mystery, it's an unknown. She wants it to be a known.
Yeah. So you are in the camp of, you need the idol at any cost.
I don't know. I mean, I'm now in the camp of like, get everything and then throw it in the fire. You know,
you don't want to have it
in the fire. You don't want to have it. You don't want anyone else to have it. So like,
okay.
Throw it in the fire.
All right. So your move for Nick is do the neutral or do the deceive box, go find the idol, get it, and then throw it in the ocean a la Randy.
I mean, I don't know if Randy's a great model for Randy. I mean, other than, you know, a full life and wonderful social media humorist.
This is a terrible situation to be in. It's the move, Steven. Don't volunteer for anything.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like, you know, obviously I've thought about this a lot, you know, like in Cambodia with the advantage. I still think the move is get the advantage and then throw it in the fire.
Yeah. The problem is you go get the clue and then you still don't have the idol. And then you have to come back and everybody's like, hey, what did you do?
Yeah.
What do you tell them?
You put up the clue. Let's all go find this right now and throw it in the fire.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Okay. I don't think there's no great solution.
Yeah. Okay. This is from Eric 9000. Sorry, I'm hogging the questions. Did you notice that there's a woman named Jenna Lewis this season? Yes. Yes.
Literally like 30 seconds ago. Yeah. Kyle.
Questions are already loaded.
Yeah. Kyle. We're joking. So Kyle Hand. So we've had enough people make the decision between Idol Clue or Help the Tribe, even all the way back to Steven's season. So what's the right move in that situation? I mean,
yeah, the old Sierra and
Sandy Bergen, Mama K.
Yeah, Sandy, I'm pissed. So, Steven, what is the right move? Do you help the tribe or you help yourself?
I mean, in that season, we did not know that there would be like an idol thing. That was before like the proliferation of like multiple different advantages and idols. If no one knows, right?
Yes.
Then you get the idol. But like the problem now is that Everyone assumes there's an idol. You can't help the tribe. I don't know. I'm still, this is really, if someone can come up with a perfect strategy, you know, tweet that to us.
I mean, Steven, it's very straightforward. In Survivor, not in life, but in Survivor, right. If nobody is going to find out, if it's the perfect crime,
right.
Then be self-serving, be selfish. If people are able to see what you did, then you want to then help the group. I think right. That you want to sort of like come off looking good. And if it's a coin flip, then help yourself.
Yeah, I think that's right.
If it's close, then help yourself, because people, you might help the group and they still might be mad at you. So if it's going to be a 50-50 thing, then you might as well help yourself.
Yeah.
All right. Mark Stavation wants to know, now that they're down to 20 contestants, is it now time to swap into two tribes? Are you feeling fatigue on the three tribes, Steven?
I think there's more life in these three tribes. You know, we haven't seen one of them go to tribal council. We just missed another, you know. I think there's interesting to see what will happen when Blue Tribe goes again. It's possible they would switch. The problem is that 10-person tribe is a really big tribe. And like when you're first starting the season, you know, you can kind of wrap your head around it, but it might be tricky. I don't know. On the other hand, you know, the fact that there's 3-hour episodes, you know, maybe it won't be. I don't know. What do you think here,
Rob? This is fine. Yeah. I'd be fine if you go down to 16 and then go to two tribes of 8 when you get down to 16.
Yeah.
We have these dynamics. We finally, we're trying to learn who all these people are, yeah. That this is fine. I'm not bored with this format in terms of, I think that maybe we could cut down a little bit of like, you know, every reward they get, do we need to see them like, oh, this is what a hammock is like. Oh, this is nice. This is comfortable. Oh, we got like a sandwich. Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's
I agree. There's a little bit of padding here, but you know, still.
Okay. All right. Let's do a few more questions.
Tara O'Neill wants to know which season of US Survivor shares the most similarities from Australian Survivor so far.
I don't know. Do you have an idea of which season this feels like?
I'd say, worlds apart.
I guess so. I guess it's like worlds apart. So which is the no collar, which is the blue collar, and which is the white collar team?
Certainly the no collar, right, is going to be once again the red
tribe. They do have the same colors as the three tribes from that season.
Yeah, and then you had the dominant, right? Red was losing all the time, and they had a lot of the sort of pretty boy free spirits.
They lost 2 out of 4 challenges before the swap.
I don't know, man. I'm trying here. You know, I'm trying to relate two totally different Survivor seasons with completely different numbers of people, and you nitpicking me.
Well, yeah, I think that the right answer is just, you know, it's a stretch. Okay. Chris Cerullo wants to know, do you guys get very toned down Parvati Amanda vibes from Phoebe and Elle? No, I told you that. It was a cross-continental Kim and Chelsea.
Yeah, I think that's the better comparison.
Yeah. All right. What about Mark's debation?
Mark's debation was, now, do you think that the producers held off on introducing the hidden immunity idols into the game because the Australian casuals needed to be introduced to the format of the show?
Do you have a take on that?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think, yeah, probably. I think that probably actually is part of it. You know, they kind of like giving the big kind of show, like letting the show sort of settle and then, you know, hit the immunity idols. And that used to be the case too for, US Survivor, even as recently as Token Chains, right? We didn't get idol clues until, I think probably Samoa too, right? Until a couple episodes in. It only recently sort of sped up recently.
You know, Survivor, in terms of the Australian version of it, it's a weird thing. It's sort of like these like comic book reboots of like Batman, where it's like, do you need the Batman origin story again? Could you just start the movie and we already know the story of Batman and what's going on? Do you need a Joker origin story? So I feel like for the Australian audience, maybe they've been keeping up with Survivor over the years. Maybe they last saw Survivor whenever they did the last Australian version, which was 10 years ago. So I understand that they wanted to, okay, let's introduce all of these people and then let's start to introduce some of these American twists that have been happening over the last 10 years gradually, as opposed to we have idols off the bat, we have this off the bat, and maybe we'll see even more twists to come along the way in a 55-day season.
You got a lot of time left. Probably there will be twists. And the fact that they're so jealously guarding contestants, I really think is interesting. I think there must be something they got down the line, because I thought it was like a no-brainer with, like, you know, 34 contestants to lose two tonight.
You know, 24 person season. I think you're begging for episodes like this. Yeah. It's like, oh, good. Thank God. We don't have to have that many more episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is going to be hard to forgive.
So upset.
Jero 170 wants to know, are aggressive players such as Bianca or Evan being too punished this season?
I don't know. Well, we talked about this where there's going to be people that are going to be playing hard and people who are sort of just here for it's Survivor Borneo for some of these people where it's the first season and you're going to get rid of the people that are playing hard.
Yeah. And I think also, I think temperamentally, this group of people, you know, it's like the Lees and the Rowans of the world, right? They're like, you know, they're going to punish. It's, I honestly feel like it's as much of the fact that they're just like social outsiders as it is that they're overplaying, you know? Maybe I'm wrong about that.
Maybe people are reluctant to get in an alliance with people that they view as playing hard.
Yeah, it could be. It's a chicken and an egg.
it's a Chester or an egg. Yeah. All right, let's do one last question.
All right.
From Kyle Han. Do you like or dislike how Evan, Nick, and Connor are all so similar and on different tribes? Do you like how they have the three super fans that we've sort of spread out?
Yeah, I really like that, actually. I think that's great. You know, I think that for the most part, the tribe balance is pretty interesting. I really like that. And I think Matt is a fan, too, right? So I think that, you know, you've got...
That might be fan fiction. I don't know if we have any evidence of that.
Matt tweeted to us.
Oh, okay.
So if he's listening to the Know-It-Alls, I feel like he knows the show. And I heard that, I have not heard from Andrew, but I heard that Andrew like is a long-term fan as well. So I do think they've done a good job of breaking up the Big Show fans.
All right. Well, Steven, so much fun to get into Survivor Australia. I just wish that we were rewarded with more tribal councils.
I know.
More votes off. Who's getting voted off in this episode that's probably airing right now?
I couldn't even. Yeah. Let's who's up, right? It's
you. Right, we'll go through the three tribes.
So Phoebe's in danger.
I think that there is a possibility that now they're going to have to try to flush the idol now. That yeah. I don't know necessarily if she's in danger, but I think that she's at risk of being exposed.
I think Phoebe's in danger. I think Phoebe's at risk too. I'm gonna agree. I mean, I think Phoebe's at risk. Rowan certainly. And a cat is perennially, always up for elimination on that tribe. Kylie obviously is the big target over on blue.
It doesn't seem like there's another possible person in the mix.
I guess it would have to be Connor, right?
No, I think that's very premature to say that's going to be Connor. I wonder if you break up Flick and Brooke at that point.
Right, right.
That's possible. Purple Flick.
And on the other tribe, you know, Nick is in danger. He's really the only one we've seen as being in danger on that tribe. We haven't really seen an argument for anybody else.
Yeah, that would be very interesting to me if Vavu ends up going to a tribal council along the way, because we just don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Are the Andrews and the Craigs of the world going to come calling for Nick?
Yeah, it could be. I think we all hope not. I think we all love watching Nick, but he certainly is at risk.
Can I give you one of the other subheadings that I was really proud of when Pete looked like he was going to quit the game the first time? I called that section Pete's Dragon.
Why? Oh, it's like dragon, like a G-R-A-D-I-N.
And with apostrophe, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Steven, I got a hashtag for this episode. Let's go with hashtag blue ballots.
Blue ballots.
There we go. Or red ballots.
Let's say blue ballots. It feels
okay. All right. So much fun talking about this every week on the show. Steven, the countdown is on. I think we're just, 3 weeks from Wednesday until the premiere of the Millennials and the Gen Xers.
Yes. We're going to have Survivor back to back for 4 nights of the week.
Yeah. So much Survivor to get into.
I mean, I'm so excited.
Woo. Yeah. Millennials versus Jenna Louise, I think is what they're going to come up with next. So, Steven, we got all that coming up, all the Big Brother. I have a podcast that I'm going to post later on tonight. I spoke with a woman who is a generational expert about the differences between millennials and Gen Xers in real life. That's
what's like with the big one?
It's very fun and talking about how millennials view the world versus how Gen Xers view the world and the kinds of things people are going to have to do
through their iPhones. Am I right?
through their iPhones. Yes, through emoji. Yeah. Draw emoji in the sand was one of the big things we talked about. No, that's a little bit of a fun podcast. Not really Survivor specific, but just some background on millennials and Gen X.
That's a good one. I like that.
So that's fun. Of course, we have our Millennials Tribe preview up that Nicole and I did, and then our Gen X preview is going to be coming up later on this week. So a lot of stuff on the podcast. Go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes to subscribe. Don't miss any of it, and we're looking forward to your comments. Also, that the Survivor Australia podcast feed is also robhasawebsite.com/SurvivorAU.
Yeah.
So all that, much more.
I'm as much as I love to gripe about how much show there is, I'm really enjoying the show. I think there's some great characters. I think it's like incredibly well done. You know, there's beautiful nature scenery. As I think we were saying last week, you know, as beautiful as anything on American Survivor. I think Jonathan's doing a fantastic job. Really, I feel like we come on, we sort of start sniping and analyzing, and you know, sometimes just don't take a minute to say, like, this is such a great show. So much work goes into this, and it's so evident, and really how breathtaking and fascinating it is.
And I wouldn't even say it's like, oh, this is like a poor man's U.S. Survivor. I think that basically on every level, I'd say it's probably as comparable to the American Survivor as we could have ever imagined.
Well, I could have asked for fewer players.
Fewer players. Sure. But they're not thinking about us. Yeah. And maybe not three nights a week also, if you were going to really nitpick. But very fun stuff. Looking forward to seeing what you guys have to say in the comments. Follow Stephen Fishback on Twitter. He's @StephenFishback. I'm @RobSestrino. Talk to you guys again soon. Take care, everybody.
Bye.